Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to Charles James Kirk. Accepting on behalf of Charlie is his wife, Mrs. Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk was one of the most influential American political figures of his generation. At just 18 years old, he founded Turning Point USA and grew it into the largest conservative youth organization in the nation. For over a decade, he tirelessly traveled the country, leading a movement to restore respect for our founding principles, reawaken our national identity, and inspire a renewed spirit of religious devotion. He was one of the great debaters and communicators of his time. Despite receiving repeated threats, he remained undeterred and modeled courage, logic, humor, and grace to the next generation. On September 10th, 2025, at age 31, Charlie Kirk was assassinated while addressing a group of students. The United States honors him as a martyr for truth and freedom.
Man, it was a very good ceremony yesterday. Of course, the president spoke for a little while first, and they did kind of a reversal. If you remember the ceremony that they had where, it was like 5 hours long, and everybody talked, and then Erica Kirk talked, and President Trump talked after her, and at the time, I think everybody recognized that it really should have gone the other way. I mean, you can't make the president talk, you know, not last in an event like that, but it would have been better if. Well, this time they got it right. Trump spoke first, then the citation was read for the Presidential Medal of Freedom for Charlie Kirk, and Erica, his widow, as has been true every time I have watched her talk, was amazing.
The very existence of the Presidential Medal of Freedom reminds us that the national interest of the United States has always been freedom. Our founders etched it into the preamble of our Constitution, and those words are not relics on parchment. They are a living covenant. The blessings of liberty are not man's invention, they are God's endowment. Charlie lived for those blessings, not as abstract words, but as sacred promises. He used to love to journal about this topic all the time, and with such a heart postured of gratitude. And he believed that liberty was both a right and a responsibility. And he used to say, freedom is the ability to do what is right without fear. And that's how he lived. He was free from fear.
And she, you know, would go on and talk quite a bit about the nature of freedom and what Charlie's message was. And, of course, now she's been leading Turning Point USA. And I got to thinking about how, you know, I have been critical of some of the efforts to honor Charlie Kirk, like the renaming of the street, you know, here by Escambia High School. I thought that was a misfire, and I'm glad they wound up not doing that at the county commission. This, I still think, ludicrous bill that the state legislature is going to take up to rename a street at every campus in a Florida college or university, including Campus Drive at UWF and College Boulevard on PSC for Charlie Kirk. I just think that's ridiculous. But I would love to see things like a Charlie Kirk Institute or a debating foundation fund or anything along those lines. And the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Perfectly appropriate, like exactly the right thing. In fact, I was even thinking, you know, maybe naming a warship after him would be appropriate. It's the kind of thing that, like, that's an appropriate way of honoring people who've had a significant impact on the culture. I just don't, you know, should it be a cruiser? Should it be a destroyer? Should it be, you know, a naval ship or a nurse, you know, like a medical ship? Should it be a supply ship? I don't know. That'd be an interesting conversation to have. But, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, really do make a lot of sense to me. Naming a street at every campus does not make any sense to me. But back to Erica Kirk, who said, like I said, just a lot of things that were well worth hearing.
I just saw the fire in his soul, and there was this divine restlessness within him that came from knowing God placed him on this earth to protect something very, very sacred for all of us. And he never stopped fighting for people to experience freedom. He didn't.
Advocating it by doing it, and in the doing of it, protecting other people's ability to dissent and disagree and fight him and say mean things to him, which was par for the course.
Charlie often said that without God, freedom becomes chaos. And he believed liberty could only survive when anchored to truth. And I remember in one of his speeches, he told the audience that the opposite of liberty isn't law. He said it's captivity. And that the freest people in the world are those whose hearts belong to Christ.
Yeah, a lot of times people misunderstand this. They think that laws, rules, or even, you know, restrictions are an inhibition on freedom. But and they can be, okay? But really, freedom, and certainly freedom the way Christians conceive it, is freedom is the opportunity to become what God intends for your life to become. And so freedom in that sense is obedience. Somebody says, how can you be free and obey? Well, because you freely chose to obey. You know, like if my wife asks me to do something and I say, no, I'm free to not do it, okay? But I'm also free to do it. And in the agreement to do what she wants and not what I do, and in consenting to that freely, I give up my freedom, but I exercise my freedom in giving it up and choosing to use it her way. And I become my best person. I become a manifestation of liberty precisely in the way that I don't do what I want to do. A lot of people think that freedom is doing your own thing all the time. No, you're just a slave to yourself. That's all that is. You're just a slave to your desires and your own sense of the world. Transcend your own self-importance a little bit and be able to say, I'm going to do what I don't want to do, or I'm going to do what I don't want to do now, or I'm going to do what somebody else wants me to do, or what doesn't make sense to me but makes sense because my trust in somebody else's expertise or their authority. Those are all expressions of freedom. And, you know, the best expression of freedom, or the most interesting expression of freedom, is precisely when you decline to use it. The restraint to use freedom is an important part of preserving it. And so that idea of the more you use it poorly, you actually jeopardize the existence of it, because you can only give freedom to people when they're going to use it well, is a bit of a paradox, or is a bit of a, you know, a challenge for people to understand that the best way to preserve it is to use it well. Also, the best way to preserve it is to misuse it and demand that people allow you to misuse it, like we talk about with the Sanger Theater. It's sometimes things that chip away at the edge of what you think is appropriate that actually do the best job of defining the boundary. But if all everybody did all the time was chip away at the edge, well, we'd have to take it away because it'd be chaos and anarchy, the problems that come from misuses of freedom. All right, that's a 150-minute session in ethics class. I put that in 2 minutes. that's your way more condensed than the Reader's Digest version, but, you know. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. If you only had a chance to come to my ethics class 15 years ago.
I know, right?
25 years ago.
Oh.
Wow,
whoa,
yeah. Okay, whoa. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on
easy.
The fives.
Well, we are free of delays and free of accidents right now, not seeing any delays. I did. I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with Freedom.
not the George Michael version, but the, right. The Erica Kirk, Andrew McKay, Charlie Kirk, you know, Bible version.
But what's so powerful is that Charlie had the ability to communicate so brilliantly across all generations. And he reminded us that in a world that tells us freedom is, you know, doing whatever you want to do, the real freedom is the power to live freely and to do what is right. And in one of his journal entries, he wrote that he wanted everyone to know that you can't have liberty without moral responsibility.
That's 100% right.
Freedom divorced from faith eventually just destroys itself.
Yeah, yeah. And then she did what I love when she does. She went beyond just the ideology, the ideas, which is great. I mean, what a wonderful expression of the things that are A, true, and B, things that Charlie Kirk would explain all the time. But talking about him and their relationship, what I cherish about this is not just because it makes me like her, makes me like him, but because they're showing you what a healthy relationship can look like with, you know, people that you might otherwise have ideas about who they are.
And ironically, for a man who impacted millions, Charlie never desired to be the center of attention. He just wasn't. My husband was not a man of extravagance. He loved simple but deeply meaningful things, truly. He loved his late night walks. He loved buying more books than he could ever read because he felt there was no such thing as a book budget.
Oh, my brother. My absolute soul brother. That's. Are you going to read all those books, Andrew? Shut up. No kind person asks those questions.
He loved being able to read to our kids the same bedtime story on repeat because he knew it was their favorite. But to him, that was special.
And, you know, read to your kids, read to your kids, read to your kids, read to your kids.
He loved to sit in the sun on a Saturday morning with his cup of decaf coffee.
Wait, what? No. We were right there. Decaf. I'll continue.
And his phone was off because he was honoring the Sabbath. And for him, it was that moment to catch his breath and just be in peace. Because he was unreachable at the moment.
Every time I learn more things, especially through her eyes, I'm more and more impressed.
And he preferred quiet birthdays.
It was his birthday yesterday, by the way. Just that's important context to understand.
But that never stopped me from telling him. I told him every single year. I said, baby, I love your birthday. I said, because it's the day that God knew the world couldn't go another day without you. And so the rhythm of our usual birthday celebration for him was mint chocolate chip ice cream. He only had it twice a year, on his birthday and 4th of July. It's just, and then after that, it was back to work as usual.
I don't know why you'd only have it twice a year. It is the best ice cream, but fantastic.
Last year, his one birthday wish was to see the Oregon Ducks play the Ohio State.
Go Ducks!
And they won. Oregon won that night. And it was by far one of the most memorable nights of his birthday experience of his life until today.
And this is probably the moment in the presentation yesterday that caught the most news. It's kind of wonderful, really.
And so, honestly, President Trump, I have spent 7.5 years trying to find the perfect birthday gift for Charlie. And it's so difficult. And those of you that have spouses or loved ones, you know how difficult it is sometimes to buy a gift for someone that you love. Because he wasn't a materialistic man, so that also did not help. But now I can say with confidence, Mr. President, that you have given him the best birthday gift he could ever have.
I got nothing to add. That's just amazing. Really, really amazing. There's more. We'll play more for you later. Really, the absolute right thing to do to honor what he did, to advocate for and practice freedom and expand freedom and to show people what civility and discourse and debate and disagreement and building relationships, even in the process of fighting with people verbally. It's at the heart of what this nation stands for, and certainly as a Christian, it's at the heart of what we believe in. For 623 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, I'm Andrew McKay.
The 90th annual Pensacola Interstate Fair starts this Thursday for 11 big days with Dollar Day, $1 admission and rides, free shows by Rodney Atkins, Clay Walker, Sawyer Brown, George Burge, Petra, Tyler Farr, Al Joslin, a tribute to Elvis, and White Tie Rock Ensemble. Over 50 great rides, Midnight Madness, the Sea Lion Splash Show, Livestock Auction, and Sensory Friendly Saturday. Check out the daily specials and get half-price admission tickets and $5 off ride wristbands in advance only. PensacolaFair.com.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
Good morning, 625 News Radio 92.3, just turned 626. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now at West 9 Mile Road and Fowler Avenue. No roadblock associated with this, but I just wanted you to be aware of it. Let's take a look at I-10, I-110. They're all flowing smoothly. 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
How big are these accident books?
They're huge, man.
Yeah, like, what's the dimensions?
Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay. Is there a color?
Well, I do color code things.
Okay. All right. So they're large colored books, these accident books.
Yes. And I like coloring, too.
All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, David.
Wondered why we always had so many crayons laying around.
That
here.
does start to explain things.
Now
yeah. I mean,
know.
This is what we do. It's journalism. Yeah. We're just explaining the world.
Absolutely.
Asking the hard questions.
Well,
do you like salad?
I love salad.
That was
side
my
salad.
Question for Chip yeah. earlier, yesterday. So.
What's your favorite salad dressing?
Oh, well, it's ranch,
ranch.
Obviously. Yeah.
Ranch?
I mean, everybody knows it's ranch. Even Chip's a ranch guy. Everybody knows
it. I'm a French dressing guy.
Oh.
Well. I didn't expect those looks.
Ooh la la.
Well.
It's got a good tangy flavor. You know what?
There's a lot of personal issues that a lot of people have, and there's a lot of feelings that people have. And let's just allow you to move on from that particular confession.
All right, let's do that. So no end in sight. That's the status of the current government shutdown. Andrew, after the Senate rejected another spending measure that would have ended the impasse yesterday, it's the eighth time now that a spending deal has been shot down. The vote came, of course, after President Trump announced plans to cut programs favored by Democrats, with a full list of targeted programs expected later this week.
I think we actually have some audio from the Senate debate over the bill. You ready? You're a poopy face. No, you're a poopy face. I think that's
that sounds accurate.
Full yeah, summary. Actually, it's the verbatim from the C-SPAN.
That's pretty much what I heard. Yeah.
Go on.
Some serious safety lapses at that Tennessee explosives plant were apparently flagged years before the deadly explosion last week. 16 people were killed in the massive blast at Accurate Energetic Systems, and a 2019 OSHA inspection noted that workers apparently had not been properly trained on chemical hazards or protective measures.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update and for putting up with me. I always appreciate that. 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative. Local, dependable. A relatively new advertiser for us here on the show, New South Windows. We started talking about them when they had this massive sale. And, man, I went over there to the showroom the other day, and I was talking with Tana, who is the manager, and just learned a ton of all the things I did not know about Windows. And I'll just give you, like, one little example, because when you call them, they can come out to your house and, you know, kind of walk you through what would the cost be, what would be the recoupment of your investment or the return on your investment, how long will it take, what will it save you in your energy bills, all that stuff. And, you know, choices about what kind of windows to use. And you might call them if you need one window replaced. You might call them. It's very common for people to replace a whole facing, you know, like the side that faces the sun, because that's going to be the one that's affecting your temperature the most and your cooling and heating. Sometimes people do it for sound dampening, like the side of the house that's near the air conditioner. because, you know, the air conditioner is loud and they don't want to have to hear it so much. And anyway, there's just lots of different reasons that people would call. But one of the things that in their showroom that they have is you take a like a UV lamp, like a heat lamp, okay, and you put it behind a standard one-pane window, and then you can feel how hot the window gets. And then you, it's behind a two-pane window, and you can feel it's almost the same. It's a little bit less, almost the same. And then if you look at a contractor grade or a builder grade, it's a little bit better, but it's still almost exactly the same. And then she had turned the fourth window on, and it was using their eVantage windows, which is their best windows, which is like several layers of glass and argon gas between. Anyway, and it had it on for a minute or two, and she's like, put your hand up there. And I'm like, are you, you know, you couldn't even feel it at all. It's a almost a complete heat barrier, which is exactly how they work to keep your house from being heated up by the sun so much, which is exactly what you want in the summer. Anyway, New South Windows, check them out online at newsouthwindow.com or just stop by in the Books A Million Hobby Lobby Shopping Center on Davis Highway and take a look around the showroom and ask your questions. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around.
Gianna Delosi, Hamas has only handed over a quarter of the bodies of dead hostages it's supposed to return as part of the fragile ceasefire. But now the Israeli military says one of the first four bodies is not one of the hostages who was held in Gaza. Fox's Jonathan Savage.
The Israeli military says forensic examination of the fourth does not show a match to anyone they were expecting. The news will add to tensions as families await the return of 21 deceased loved ones.
The deadline to return the hostages was Monday, but
terms published by the Israeli media last week appeared to acknowledge that Hamas would struggle to locate all of the bodies in time.
The U.S. striking another drug boat near Venezuela.
The president made this announcement via Truth Social with a social media post. He says no Americans were hurt, but that six men who he calls narco traffickers were killed.
Fox's Jillian Turner, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 64 degrees, clear skies right now in Pensacola. Well, this may be the season of trick or treat, but it's also time to invite families for touch a trunk and treat. Now, this event is being hosted by Help Me Grow Escambia, taking place a week from this Saturday. Marianne Bickerstaff, the Children's Health Director for ARC Gateway, tells us.
It's part of our Help Me Grow Escambia program with our Children's Services, where we're focusing on earlier identification of children with developmental delays through early developmental screening. And so we do outreach in the community to help try to find the children and try to make it a fun event from time to time. And so this is one of those that we're doing.
And children will have a chance to explore fire trucks, police cars, construction vehicles, and they can get developmental screenings for children up to 8 years old. The event taking place again Saturday, October 25th from 9 a.m. until noon at the Brownsville Community Center. Well, the family of 22-year-old Luca Kukoc, who was killed in a head-on collision with an alleged drunk driver, is calling on Florida's lawmakers to amend the state's Dram Shop Act. Luca's mother, Rita Kukoc, is suing the driver, Leslie Highstreet, as well as bars that served him alcohol before the crash. She argues that current laws protect establishments from liability and allows them to overserve patrons with no consequence. The Kukoc family says they want to raise awareness and push for accountability to prevent future tragedies. Fire crews responded to Pine Forest High School on Tuesday for a high-life hazard structure fire. After visible smoke was reported inside of that building, everybody inside was evacuated as a precaution. Firefighters say they did detect a haze and smoke when they entered the building. Crews discovered a burned electrical junction box. They did not find any active flames. They say there were no injuries as a result. 25 new graduates made it through the FDLE Criminal Justice Executive Institute class. They include Major Doug Bringmans from the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, Chief Tom Robertson from the Pensacola State College Police Department, and Major Joshua Grace from the Crestview Police Department. The program attendees met for several weeks in Tallahassee for seminars and classes on social media, stress management, planning, and leadership. The Florida Criminal Justice Executive Institute was established by the Florida Legislature in 1990. It is affiliated with the Florida State University system. UWF is considering removing Juneteenth as one of their 8 paid holidays. Dropping that event from the calendar would fall in line with a series of decisions UWF has made to purge DEI initiatives. The Board of Trustees will vote on that proposed calendar change December 11th in the University Conference Center. Now, discussions are taking place between the city of Pensacola and the United Soccer League regarding the possibility of soccer coming to the city. If the USL does select Pensacola, the city would need to determine a suitable location. Mayor Reeves has identified a few potential sites, but none of those have been disclosed as of yet. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by White Sands Electric, reminding you that fall is the best time to check your breakers or add surge protection. Safety first. Visit whitesandselectric.com. Back to rolling accident-free, not seeing anything on the big board right now. If you're on Highway 29 southbound, approaching 10 Mile, we've just got a minor delay in that area. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We will have a beautiful sunny day today with a high near 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 83. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Friday, sunny weather with a high near 82. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 72 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
65 and clear skies are next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are mixed on U.S.-China trade tensions. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $62.33 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $58.73 per barrel. Bank of America has posted third quarter results that exceeded analyst expectations on stronger than expected investment banking revenue. The second largest U.S. bank by assets said that profit rose 23% from a year earlier to $8.5 billion. Revenue rose 10.8% to nearly $28.3 billion. Treasury yields inched lower this morning as investors monitored the latest developments in the U.S.-China trade war. The 10-year Treasury yield fell less than one basis point to 4.013%. The 2-year Treasury yield was also less than one basis point, down to 3.476%. Futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 202. The NASDAQ down 172. The S&P 500 down 10. That's Your Money Now.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour, so the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. As you've heard David mentioning this morning, Bishop William Wack put out a letter yesterday. The Catholic Diocese of Pensacola Tallahassee alerted all of us to it. And I'm going to do what I think you ought to do if you're in, you know, news media. I'm going to read you the letter, and then we'll talk about it kind of as we go along, because I don't like excerpts typically. I think that, you know, if somebody takes the time to write a letter and he's a major leader in our community, then, you know, you ought to read the letter. So here goes. As the dear brothers and sisters in Christ, again, this is Bishop William Wack talking to the Catholics in the two city dioceses, the panhandle basically. As we observe Respect Life Month in our church, I write to you as your shepherd in communion with my brother bishops in Florida and indeed throughout the United States. Our baptism unites us to Jesus Christ. Enlightened by his gospel, we are called to be his body in the world, entrusted with a mission of building a civilization of love and a culture of life. The church calls us to recommit ourselves to honoring the inherent dignity of every human person through prayer, education, pastoral care, and advocacy. Our main focus over the past decades has been on opposing abortion and supporting mothers and families, and that effort continues, especially on the local and statewide levels. And I may pause here occasionally and give comments, but I mean, so far, you can't even, there's nothing even controversial. This is 100% obvious for Catholics and any other conservative Christians, frankly. This year, I have reflected with a heavy heart. This is, again, Bishop William Wack. I have reflected with a heavy heart on who is most in need of a message of hope and believe that it is our immigrant brothers and sisters, so many of whom are suffering under the weight of a broken immigration system. Especially over the last several months, the topic of immigration has dominated the headlines on television, in newspapers, and across social media. While we rightly affirm that law enforcement has a responsibility to apprehend and detain individuals who commit crimes, we must resist the dangerous narrative that every immigrant is a threat, someone to be parodied, punished, and deported. At the same time, we must also advocate for reform of immigration law, of due process, and of enforcement practices so that justice and mercy are upheld together and families are not needlessly torn apart. And again, I would just say amen. Yeah, this is 100% accurate so far. The dangerous narrative that immigrants are inherently dangerous or threatening or a problem. And yeah, no, putting them all into that category is absolutely, it's a category mistake as a Christian, as an just honest person, and it's dangerous politically as well. He goes on, as a pro-life people, can we support the separation of families with mixed immigration status? Can we in good conscience endorse policies that deport a working father, knowing the devastating impact it will have on his family without also acknowledging his contributions to our communities? We're talking here, I'm editorializing, talking about, you know, people who are here illegally or in undocumented status or have lost status, whatever the case may be, but they work and they get deported, they get detained and deported. Is that good for the family if they split the family? Well, obviously the answer is no. I mean, he's asking a rhetorical question, but obviously the answer is no. And if we are pro-family, then shouldn't that concern us? And it should. You know, sometimes conservatives, anybody on any side of an issue, you get yourself into a situation where anything the other side says that seems to go against your view, you become defensive and you name call and say, well, that's not conservative, or that's not Rhino, or that is Rhino, or that, whatever you say. You should always pay attention to something because, you know, a thing can be true even if it has defects. And an immigration policy, even if you support the president's immigration policy, you can acknowledge that separating families is bad. Bad for the members of the family, bad for the children, it's bad. And for pro-family, we should care about that, right? You might say it's an acceptable cost, but you should acknowledge it's a cost. I mean, denying that that's a harm is, I mean, stupid. Like, I don't know what you're thinking of. So, okay, so he goes on. Can we accept that more children are being pushed into the foster care system because both parents have been deported? Can we continue to ignore the cry of the mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, members of our own parishes with whom we share the Eucharist every Sunday? And I would agree with him about that, too. What happens to the kids? If you deport the parents and the kids stay, what happens to the kids? You should ask that question. That should matter to us. I don't know, some people who are they're starting to feel uncomfortable about this letter. And that's fine. You should feel uncomfortable about it. Maybe uncomfortable bad, maybe uncomfortable good, but you should feel uncomfortable about this because he's asking good questions. And you might say, well, you know, it's not our fault. It's the people who came here illegally's fault. Oh, okay. I mean, you can have a conversation about fault, or you can have a conversation about taking the fault for given. Now, what do we do, and how does what we do affect people's lives? Because we have a role to play in the, you know, moral culpability for the effects of the things that we do or advocate or elect to have done on our behalf, right? And I think what he's calling here for is a real community, a thinking seriously about the people who are in our midst, our neighbors. Even if they're not our citizens, they're still our neighbors. He says, this is again Bishop William Wack in a letter he wrote yesterday. I call on all Catholics in the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, and I should note, I'm not a Catholic. To the degree that matters to you, you know, I'm an evangelical, charismatic, how can they be both? Well, don't ask me questions later. But I'm not a Catholic, okay? I'm probably the most pro-Catholic, non-Catholic you'll meet, because I have a lot of respect for the Catholic Church, but I am not a Catholic. He says, let's pause right here. John Pickens has got traffic on the files. We'll come back and finish this in a second.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see those construction delays. And also Highway 29, both northbound, southbound, and at the 9 Mile Road intersection, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the letter from Bishop William Wack, the bishop over our area, Tallahassee and Pensacola. Okay, so he says, I call on all Catholics in the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee to set aside partisan talking points and reflect instead as disciples of Jesus Christ. Always a good reminder. The gospel and the church's rich tradition of social teaching are clear. We are called to care for our neighbor, to shelter the stranger. That's biblical language, the stranger, the alien, the foreigner, the immigrant. And to welcome the foreigner, for each of us has been lovingly created in the image and likeness of God. As Pope Francis reminded us, migrants and refugees are not pawns on the chessboard of humanity. They are children, women, and men who share a legitimate desire for being more. We are all brothers and sisters, one family under God, and our faith demands that we move beyond fear and indifference to encounter those on the margins with compassion and mercy. We must be guided by God's directive, spoken through Moses, you shall not oppress or afflict a resident alien because you yourselves were once aliens residing in Egypt. That's from Exodus 22. And learn anew as a Catholic community how to welcome Christ in the stranger. It is kind of this theme in the Bible that when you treat strangers well, which is a very Middle Eastern value, very high Middle Eastern value, that you're that's how you treat God, that's how you might be treating angels. There's just that theme is abundant in the Bible, that the way you treat strangers is very important. You think of like the parable of the Good Samaritan, or even the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was what these men wanted to do to strangers in the city was really the key abomination that started that whole story. In our efforts, he writes, to safeguard our borders, we must carefully distinguish between those individuals who intend harm and those who seek hope. Some may argue that we should focus on serving fellow citizens, which we will continue to do. But our faith has always called us to give special care to the poor and the vulnerable. And by the way, if you say you believe in the Bible and Judeo-Christian tradition or anything else, this is inarguable. He's 100% correct about that. Pope Francis proposed that true ordo amoris, or order of love, in a society should be modeled on the parable of the Good Samaritan, where love builds a fraternity open to all without exception. Mercy extends our circle of compassion to include those neighbors thrust into our path by the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. I've seen our diocese come together in times of great need, for example, in the aftermath of a devastating hurricane, to alleviate the sufferings of those affected. We know how to set aside our own needs and to aid those in greater need. Balancing justice with mercy has always been difficult, but Jesus, who equated perfection with mercy, Luke 6, leads us by his example, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us, the more prosperous nations are obliged to the extent they are able to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood, which he cannot find in his country of origin. That's from the Catechism, paragraph 2241. I wish to express my full solidarity with those who have come to this country in search of safety and a better life. In this, I likewise exhort you, the people of God, to employ all of your gifts and influence to join me in bringing about this needed change in our present context. To this end, I invite you to learn more about the Church's social teachings, its longstanding advocacy for humane immigration reform, the history of immigration in our nation, and what you can do to welcome and accompany our brothers and sisters. Please visit justiceforimmigrants.org for resources on how to pray, offer pastoral care, and join in advocacy efforts. We're almost to the end. Again, if you're just joining us, this is a letter released by Bishop William Wack for the Tallahassee Pensacola Diocese yesterday. The immigrant detention center in the Everglades, tragically dubbed Alligator Alcatraz, received many of our brothers and sisters, some from our own diocese, who were taken from their workplaces and their families suddenly and without notice. There is talk of opening more such facilities in Florida, possibly one in Panama City in the near future. May we be attentive to the needs of those who are taken there, reminding them that they are loved by God and they are not alone, and we may, as Catholics, advocate for their dignity, accompany them in their suffering, and work for their treatment. The first bishop of our diocese, Bishop Rene Gracita, was asked to speak on immigration in March of 1977, and he also spoke against unjust separations of families through deportation and the general vilification of immigrants who were simply seeking a better life. We have so much work to do to change the hearts of our elected leaders to advocate for immigration reform. Our nation has long been a beacon for those fleeing violence, persecution, and extreme poverty. As people of faith, may we choose hope in life, not just for ourselves and our loved ones, but for every child of God. May God bless you and your families in abundance, Bishop William Wack, Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee. I don't think there's anything in error anywhere in that letter. What he's calling people to do is to think about their faith and the biblical commitments that your faith brings to you and the way you think about people who are in the country or in your neighborhood or in your city that aren't from here. And again, the biblical teaching on this is you can't even argue it. It'd be like arguing that the Bible doesn't support helping the poor. I mean, it's everywhere in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Does that mean that you have to oppose the president's policies on immigration or impose the work of ICE, or that if you are a member of Immigration and Customs Enforcement that you are doing something evil or wicked? I think what this calls people to do is what all good religious leaders call you to do, is to think first about your faith and what it means and to work from that outward. And I think this should make people feel uncomfortable because, first of all, everything that it says, as far as I can tell, is true. And these are excellent concerns to raise. Does it mean that you cannot believe in having any rules for immigration? It does not. Does it mean that you cannot be a border patrol or an ICE agent? It does not. Does it mean you can't be a police officer who participates with deportations? It does not. But it makes you ask the right questions about this entire set of policies. Because here, and I will sort of speak for Bishop Wack without saying what he didn't say, which is, he hinted at this. If people are dangerous to our society, if they are committing crimes apart from the crime of coming here illegally, then we should, of course, either jail them or deport them or think about them differently. And that is an entire category of also our neighbors who we should think one way about, still with grace and mercy and compassion, but the wrongdoer gets treated as a wrongdoer. The person who is here and, you know, maybe has a citizen kid or two, or his wife and he, but he's not legal, she is. There's all kinds of categories here. What do we do with them? It's a hard question. It is a hard question. But the notion that we should simply expel all of them is hard to square with the tradition of Christian teaching on this subject. It just is. It's hard to square. And, you know, I've talked about this before, that economically, if people are here and they're working, I want people who are here and working. I want people who are productive. If somebody is here holding a job and not committing other crimes, and they're not a drain on social services, and some are and some aren't, and some are criminals otherwise and some aren't, and some are employed and some are not employed, and some are able-bodied and some are disabled, and all of these categories matter. The easiest case is the criminal, especially the violent criminal. They should be deported. The other easiest case is the person who is here and been here for 20 years and has a family and is invested in paying taxes and working every day and law-abiding and a praying Christian particularly, but, you know, somebody who's not harming the society in any way, that's also an easy case. That person should stay. We should find a way to find a place for that person. We want those people here. And just as it's an error to cast all illegal status aliens in the mold of the criminal, it's an error to cast all of them in the mold of the good, law-abiding, otherwise person. But, you know, broad brush solutions that are based on one extreme or the other are a mistake. But I will say this. Numerically, the number of people who are here illegally and are criminals compared to numerically the number of people who are here and are basically a blessing to our community, our society, our economy. Well, the good people outnumber the bad people by a pretty wide margin. I think you know that. I think everybody knows that. We sometimes forget it and we don't talk about that. But I'm glad he writes this letter. He's not telling you what to do. He's telling you these are the things you should think about. This is the biblical tradition. If you're a Christian, you care about this. He's addressing Catholics. It's his authority to address Catholics specifically. But he's not saying anything that a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or even a non-denominationalist wouldn't also be concerned about or shouldn't also be concerned about. So I'm glad he wrote the letter. I think it's useful. I mean, I wouldn't have read it if I didn't think that, right? I read it for you because I think you need to hear it. I think people need to consider this stuff. It's not the end of the conversation, but it's a very important perspective on this issue that doesn't get said enough. And it's exactly what you want from a religious leader, to speak from his faith, from his heart, through prayer, carefully, and in this case, through a fairly concise exposition of what it means to care about the people who live in this country, even if they're here illegally. And certainly if they're here from other countries and working through the process of becoming citizens. 655 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 29 southbound around 10 Mile Road. We're seeing some congestion delays in that area also. And other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we'll talk all things Beach-a-ween for Friday, plus the Pensacola Interstate Fair and some good news from the Condé Nast Traveler's Guide.
Tomorrow at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Oh, I got several texts in telling me that it's Bishop Walk, it's not Bishop Whack. Honest to God, from having talked to him a long time ago, I thought for sure it was Whack, but somebody who says they're an employee of the diocese So, okay, you know, I'll take the correction. Thank you. Lots of texts on this, a lot of them very disagreeing with me, and that's fine. 437-1620. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to him right now because I got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A federal immigration operation turned chaotic in Chicago on Tuesday after a chase ended in a crash. Border Patrol agents say a pursuit began when a driver accused of being in the country illegally rammed a federal vehicle and tried to flee. The 19-year-old U.S. Citizen then ended up being tackled and detained before later being released with no charges. City officials, of course, condemning the agent's response there. Courts back in session today in the wrongful death civil trial surrounding the Los Angeles Angels' responsibility for the death of former pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Skaggs died from an overdose in 2019 that was linked to pills sold by former Angels communications manager Eric Kay.
Thanks so much, David. A lot of the texts are sending in, you know, you're talking about picking and choosing laws, and if they're here illegally, that's not a biblical value here either. But also you recognize that the question of whether the laws themselves are just, whether the laws are accomplishing the right purposes, that's what we should be talking
about. Stream us at newsradio923.com.